morning, church. It's great seeing you here at the 11 o'clock service. We had a great service at the first service today, and we're expecting the Lord to be present today in our midst and speaking to us from His Word today. And so we're happy to see all of you here at the 11 o'clock service. And we're concluding our series today entitled Spiritual DNA, Basic Building Blocks to a Better Life. And so today we're going to be talking about the final building block, which is the idea of contributing to God's kingdom. Over the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we've talked about connecting to God, to God's Son, to worship God's Son. And then last week, we talked about connecting to God's people. And then this week, contributing to God's kingdom. So we're continuing and concluding that series today. Now, here's a key question for you as you consider today's topic. Are you a giver or a taker? How would you characterize your life? Are you a consumer or a contributor? And so one of the things that you'll discover, surprisingly, you'd think a consumer would be the happy one because they're getting stuff. But this seems to be quite the opposite. It seems that the one who consumes is the most unhappy, and the one who gives, the contributes, is the happiest in life. In fact, psychologists tell us that the more we consume, the more unhappy we become. Dr. David G. Myers, author of the book The American Paradox, Spiritual Hunger in an Age of Plenty, says this: compared with their grandparents, today's young adults have grown up with much more affluence, less happiness, and much greater risk of depression and assorted social pathology. Our becoming much better off over the last four decades has not been accompanied by one iota of increase in subjective well-being. In fact, when studies are done worldwide asking people from different countries about their happiness, their level of happiness, Americans often come in near the bottom. And although this country, the people of this country, are the most wealthy of any known people in history, really, we are among the unhappiest. That seems surprising unless you consider this reality that consumerism, materialism, does not bring happiness. In fact, it seems to bring quite the opposite. Dr. Ed Diner, a psychologist at the University of Illinois, says materialism is toxic for happiness. And so we need to get detoxed from this materialism, this consumerism. We need to detox our garages and our closets and our souls. We need to get cleaned up so that we can get happy, so that we can find joy. And all this stuff seems to be rotting our souls. It seems that pursuing money and stuff just makes us want more stuff. It doesn't make us happy. It isn't life-giving. Consumerism and materialism is making us miserable. Perhaps we should consider Christ's simple call to come follow me. See, coming and following Jesus means you have to come out of the culture that you've been in. You have to leave behind some stuff in order to follow Jesus. The disciples, it says, and immediately they left their nets. In other words, they left their livelihoods. They left their practices, their old culture of being fishermen behind or to follow Jesus. This is a radical call. But Jesus says this in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 35. The Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than what? Than to receive. We know that. We've heard that since we were children. It's more blessed. It's more happy. It's more joyful to be a contributor. And really, being a contributor, being a giver, is the antidote. It's what detoxifies us from this acidic, soul-rotting culture that just keeps taking another piece. It helps us physically. It helps us be happier physically. Because if you've noticed, I mean, like the more stuff you have in your house, the harder it is to find a place for it. And you have to take care of it and make sure it's well taken care of. Or else you end up having one of those real life, you know, one of those real life TV shows based on you. You know, they'll be at your house coming over to force you to clean up your house on one of those hoarder shows. Now, why do you think it's important to move from consumerism to being a contributor? Let me give you a couple of why reasons from the Bible. One is because God made us that way. He made us to be givers, not takers. He made us like himself. In Ephesians, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So he made you to serve. He made you so you would be like him, so that you would be a giver. And then also a second reason would be because what God has given us is meant for serving others. In 1 Peter, it says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now, if you've been attending our church for any length of time, you've heard me talk about the art of flow, living the life according to the art of flow. Now, that sounds very weird, I know, but it's very biblical. I just want to help you with it for a second to remind you that some of you might be here today and you're shaking your fist at God and you're like, "No, I'm not." Yeah, well, let me explain what that looks like. So God's offering you a free gift through Jesus Christ, his Son, to come and live in you and to bless you and to forgive you and to make you right with him and make you a reconciling force to the whole world. But you have to open your hand to get that. You got to stop saying, "I got this. I can do this myself. I got it under control. I'm good." Because that's just you shaking your fist at God. So open your hand. So the idea of letting his grace flow to you starts with a decision today to say, "I'll let you in. I want you to be in my life." And so you open your hand. But then here's the other thing. So his grace begins to flow to you. And just kind of imagine a river of grace flowing to you, right? And it's filling you up. But then if this hand is closed, what happens? Well, you've dammed it up downstream. Like, now God can trust you with that much, but it's all just, you needed help, yeah. But if you're not a conduit of grace, in other words, a river of grace, it flows to you and through you for others. Like that, now God can really use you right that. So live the life of the open hand. One hand open to God, one hand open to others, like that. And so he made you for that. He made you so you'd be a conduit of his grace, so that you're the body of Christ in this world. You're the hands, you're the feet, you're the voice, you're the touch of Jesus. "Come follow me," he says. And so you're to be contributors like Jesus. You're to be server, people who serve like he did. Okay, so these are the why answers. Now we're going to dig into a short passage in the book of Matthew today. And just to set it up, as we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 20, just a couple of verses. But to set up what's going on here is Jesus has 12 disciples, and a couple of them are brothers. Peter and Andrew are brothers. And then John and James are brothers, and they knew each other. They both worked for their father's fishing business, and they grew up there in Capernaum. And so they grew up knowing each other. So James and John, their mother shows up one day. So Jesus has got the disciples, and mom shows up. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been a little league coach or a soccer coach or anything like that, but when mom or dad shows up and they, "Can I talk to you for a minute, coach?" And, "Listen, I really feel like my kid should be pitching. You got him sitting on the bench. I feel like they should be pitching," like that. So this is kind of the setup. Mom comes and goes, like, "You know, what about Jimmy and James over here? They're good-looking boys. You know what I mean? You know, don't you? I noticed that John there, especially, you favor him, don't you? Listen, I was thinking when you come into your kingdom, you know, like as the king and everything, if you could like give Jimmy and James there like chairs on either side, one to the right and one to the left. You know, like make them princes in the kingdom of heaven." Like that's what I'm kind of thinking. You got that in mind. And Jesus doesn't answer her directly. He calls all the disciples over and answers this. "Hey, your mom was asking me about this." Now, this made a mess, by the way. You know, like all the disciples are ticked at James and John, and James and John are ticked at their mom. You know how the story goes. But, I mean, here's the key. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "That's not how you achieve greatness in my kingdom. That's not how you are elevated to leadership level. The way to achieve greatness in the kingdom of heaven is you don't ascend to greatness, you descend to greatness. You don't climb the ladder of success in my kingdom. No, the ladder goes down, 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 and you bow and you wash feet and serve. And that's how you are elevated by the Father." And this is, he turns the culture upside down in this new thing called the kingdom of heaven. So let's hear the word of God now. Are you ready? And we're going to be leaving here today well-fed and fat. Are you ready to get fat for Jesus today? Like, today's a good day to get fat. And you can brag on it today. We got fat at church today. Because we're going to read the scripture today, and we're going to look at three ways that we can be contributors We're going to leave here F-A-T, fat, okay?
There you go.
So I want you to remember this. All right, so we're going to be looking at chapter 20, starting at verse 25. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is God's word. Amen. We're going to dig in, and we're going to get fat today. We're going to feed on God's word today. Here's the F: be faithful. Be faithful. We're looking for faithful disciples. This is what God's looking for, people that would be faithful. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Even as the Son of Man." Now, Son of Man is a messianic title. This was a title that the book of Daniel in the Old Testament used so many times, saying that the Son of Man is coming, and he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Christ, the Messiah. And so Jesus is talking about himself when he says this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." He's referring to himself. He's the Son of Man. He's also the Son of God. Both are equally true. It's a paradox, but he is 100% human and 100% God. He's the God-man. There's no one like him. He's an original. There's no, he's the highest that there could ever be. He's the greatest. But yet, he came. He climbed down the ladder of love. Remember Jacob's ladder back there in the Old Testament where he saw angels ascending and descending on the ladder? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus is the ladder of love. He took off the crown of majesty. He took off the robes of holiness. And he climbed down from his royal throne in heaven where the angels continuously sang to him, "Holy, holy, holy." And he became lower and lower and lower and became one that would enter into a woman's womb and born unto a woman and then was nursed by her and cared for her, walked the dusty streets of this old world of Jerusalem, and then carried a cruel cross and became one who was cursed by man as he was crucified on a cross. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, he went down, 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 down. But God lifted him up, 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 up. And so he's been lifted up. He's been exalted to the highest place. Now, I don't know how high he was before he went down the ladder of love, but it's higher now. It's the highest place. That's the Son of Man. He came to serve you. That's what he's saying to mom who wanted the special seating for her boys and to all the disciples. He says, he called to them and he said to them, "Come here, I want to talk to you about how this new kingdom is an upside down kingdom, which is really turning everything right side up again." Like that. Here's how it works in the kingdom. It's the way you spend here in the kingdom is not success, but faithfulness. It's not whether or not you hit a home run, but it's whether or not you got up to bat. Like that. You can't control results anyway. You think you can control results, you can't. Only thing you have any sort of say over is whether or not you show up. And whether you say yes to God and offer your stuff to him, but he controls outcomes. He doesn't say, "Come and be successful." He says, "Come and be faithful." When he sent Jesus, in Hebrews it says this, Jesus was faithful to God who appointed him. He said to his son, "Go." And Jesus went. And whatever he said, "I hear the Father say, I do it. Because I desire to please the Father." And so we see the Father say to him, and many times on the Mount of Transfiguration at the moment of Christ's baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because he's faithful. He was faithful. Are you faithful with what God has called you to do and be? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found," what? Faithful. Faithful. That's the first letter. If you want to be whole as a disciple, if you want to be a contributor, if you want to be fat for Jesus, be faithful. There are three areas he tests our faithfulness, that God tests our faithfulness. You've heard me say these before. The three T's. Here's the first one: time. Are you faithful with your time, or do you waste time? How much time do you spend on being a kingdom contributor? In the book of John, Jesus said this. He says, all of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. It's daytime right now. You're here. You've got something. You've got a body. You've got some stuff he's entrusted to you. Well, I got, Gary, I don't have much. But you've got something, right? You've got some time. Here's what he says. Get a sense of urgency about getting started. Stop putting it off to tomorrow. Get started today. Start serving God today. Start being faithful today. Well, if only God would help me with this, if he would give me that, if I could just get this far, then I could say yes to God. Here's the problem. You never will. You never will. There's got to be a sense of urgency about it. He says the clock is ticking, and you don't know when somebody's going to call you. I've been praying for a young man, and the story has been in the newspaper several times over the past few weeks. I think last week I saw in the newspaper that someone had got him a football signed from the Steelers game. He was a Steelers fan, and his first name was Richie. I don't know the family. I've just been reading the paper, but one of the families in our church are closely related to him. And the Lord had healed him of a brain cancer some years ago, but then recently got liver cancer. But during the first service, the young couple came down and asked for special prayer for him, and I prayed. And I don't know, I just was like praying, God, I don't know what you're going to do here. Hospice has been called in, and heal him because you can, or bring him home because he's ready. You know. But then I prayed for this couple that they would be faithful to share God's grace with that family that would be left behind, and that they would feel God's grace and not question God's will. And that's how I prayed. And so that was during the first service. And they, as they left, right after prayer, as they left, they grabbed me, and they were both in tears and said, he passed away during the service, perhaps maybe almost during the time we were praying. And so he's with the Lord now. He's going on to be with the Lord. Listen, you don't know. There's a sense of, you have a sense of urgency. Are you serving with the time you have? You don't know. You know, don't stop putting it off. The sun's going to go down soon. Be faithful with your time. And then be faithful with your treasure, your stuff, your money, your things, your house, your car, your clothes, your stuff, your possessions. In the book of Luke, Jesus is speaking. He says, whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? Now, some people will say, I only have a little. I can't share. But Jesus says if you're dishonest with a little, you'll be dishonest when you get a lot. Because it's not how much you have, it's the attitude in your heart that you have about whatever you have. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? It doesn't mean you have to, you know, well, I can't give like that person, or I can't serve like that person. Stop comparing yourself to other people. You are God's servant. And here's the other thing. You're belittling God's provision for you in the moment you're in right now. You're saying he hasn't given you enough to serve him. I want you to think about that for a second this morning. If you don't start serving him with what you have now and learn how to serve him with the little you have, you'll never be faithful to serve him if he trusts you with more. Be faithful. It's not about results. The results are up to God. Be faithful. Be faithful. Now, one of the things I'm excited about right now in our church is the growing commitment our church has, and we talked about this last week, to be involved in our home group ministry, our community groups, where people meet during the week and they talk about what they're learning from God's word, and they eat together and fellowship together and sharpen each other. And I'm excited about that. But it requires people opening up, guess what? Their homes. Now, here's the interesting thing about being faithful in that area. I hear people say, my house, it's just not nice enough. Or it's not big enough. Or it's not clean enough. Or stuff like that. So just think about this for a second. Think about being faithful in that arena. So like if you think it's not nice enough, big enough, or that sort of thing, then you're saying God hasn't trusted me with enough for me to be faithful, so I can't be faithful yet. So that might be a thing that you're almost saying, God hasn't provided me with that which I need. But here's, if it's not clean enough, you ought to clean it, maybe. Think about that. That's being faithful. Clean what God gave you. You know, like wash your car, you know. Wash your stuff, clean your stuff up. But it might not be because it's not clean enough. It might actually be, oh, I'm going to go to meddling here. Y'all okay with this? I'm going to do it anyway. Here it goes. So here's the thing. It might be pride because you don't want people to think less of you because your house don't have it all together. You know, you haven't got a Southern Living magazine and made it identical to the way it's supposed to look, you know, according to the world's culture. You haven't got some designer to come in your house to make everything match up. And I just feel like, you know, and you don't want to expose the reality because something about having people in my house shows them who I really am. And I don't really want people to know who I really am. I'd rather put on a front like that. So just saying some stuff about being faithful with your stuff like that. And by the way, you start getting faithful with your stuff and stuff gets broke and you just got to say, well, God, that was your stuff. You know, that's your car, that's your stuff. Learn to live the life of the open hand. Don't cling to your stuff. Let it be used. Let it be useful. And say, this is God's house. You know where this church started? It started in my living room. It started at my house. I live in the same house that I lived in when we planted the church, and that's where the church started. I tried to sell that house. God wouldn't let me. I say God wouldn't let me. I didn't get a single offer in 2 years. That felt like a God thing. I was trying to get out of here, man. I'm not from here. I got transferred down here to Wilson, North Carolina. I'm a hillbilly. I was transferred to the flatlands. I was trying to get back to the hills. He wouldn't let me leave. Wouldn't even let me sell my house because I guess he thought I needed it to plant the church in because that's what happened. I'm so stuck here now, I went ahead and bought my grave plots. Me and my wife, we're going to get buried here if Jesus don't come get us pretty soon. My grandson passed away here, and we bought his plot with my son. I said, Stephen, you and Caroline, you want to buy on one side of Connor's grave, and we'll buy on the other. We got a whole row there that's going to be. You know, I told him, make them face east so when Jesus comes, we'll pop up going in the right direction. I don't want to miss a single scene there, you know, because it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I need to be looking in the right direction. When he comes, if I'm there or if I'm here, I want to be looking. Are you faithful with your stuff? And then are you faithful with your talent? Time, treasure, talent. That's what God's gifted you to be able to do with your life. And he tells a story. Jesus tells a story. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The master went on his journey. And the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, here's the thing that will happen. Sometimes if you only have a little, you think, I'm just not that talented. I don't have that much. And then you go dig a hole in your backyard and hide it. But here's what he's saying. Invest what you do have. Because if you invest it, it'll increase. It'll grow. So take your little talent and start serving. Start being a contributor. And then you may hear this someday from the master. Matthew 25:21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Don't you want to hear that someday? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the highest accolade that you could hear from Jesus, that you were faithful, that you were found faithful. Not with what you wish you had, but what you actually do have. Are you faithful with that? Your time, your treasure, your talent. Now, if you're here today and you're seeking, you're here, you're not even sure about this Jesus thing yet. Somebody drug you to church. You don't know how you ended up here. It don't even look like a church. It looked like some kind of movie theater or something or another. You don't know why you're here. There's this guy up front all excited about something. Here's what I want you to think about. What would it look like for you to be faithful today? Well, it would be faithful with what you've heard today. That you've heard about Jesus, you've heard what he's done for you. What would a faithful response look like? It would be to respond to that. and say yes to Jesus. So that's all you need to think about right now. The three T's, worry less about that. Just worry about giving Him yourself. Turn your own life over to Jesus. But if you're a Christ follower, if you're a believer today, I would ask that the Holy Spirit right now that you just ask Him to examine you. And where are you holding back? Where are you being less than faithful? Because God made you and He's called you to be faithful. Live on less so you can give more. Clean out your garage. Look in your closets and get rid of some stuff. A couple of weeks ago, someone in my small group brought a couple of cases of baby clothes because her child had outgrown them to give to my daughter for her baby who's just a few months old. And so I come back from community group with these two big, ginormous boxes of clothes. And I'm like, Robin, what am I carrying all this stuff for? Why I got all this stuff? She goes, that's for Aaron and for baby Ace, you know, baby. And you, okay, all right, whatever, you know. And so, like, you know, that's me. I'm just being myself. I'm just always like, why have I got to carry this stuff? What do we, you know. And so we get back home. And so it's sitting in the corner of my house for a little while. And then Aaron comes over. My daughter comes over. And then here's my wife and my daughter. Oh, look at that. Now, you know what? That's going to fit him perfect. Look at that. It's, yeah, that's nice. That right there. Now, that might be a little bit too small. Maybe we could give that to somebody else in the church. Let's see what we could. Like, oh, now look, they paid a lot for that one right there. See the logo right there? The name brand. You just don't get that at Walmart. You know, you got to pay a lot for that right there. I would keep that one for sure. And so it was like going to the store, right? Now, what's that all about? What's going on there? There's one mom. She's passing it on now. And now Aaron's going to do the same. Moms and dads, y'all doing that? Are you contributors? Are you sharing? Are you a family? How many of you are happy to be wearing hand-me-downs right now? I mean, you know, yeah, okay, amen. And two of you admitted it, and the rest of you are wearing them and won't admit it. But be available. This is the second one. Be faithful. The A is available. Be available. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus called to them and said, you know how the rulers of the Gentiles are. They lord it over people. They exercise authority. They dominate people. But it shall not be so among you, verse 26. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant, must humble himself, must lower himself. Now here's a verse I want to give you, or a little story I want to give you to help you understand how Jesus illustrates this, his humility. Here's the story, Matthew chapter 20, just a few verses later, verse 30 through 34, because this Matthew's put this story here to illustrate what Jesus does, how he serves. Two blind men sitting by the side of the road, and they heard Jesus coming, so they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They're just shouting it out there. They don't know which way he is, but they're making sure they're heard. And the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. You know, like, he's busy. He's got stuff to do. This is the Lord you're yelling at, you blind men. Lay over here and get out of the way. So how did they respond? Well, they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then what I want you to see, I want you to circle, is Jesus stopped. Get that in your Bible and circle that. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. He wasn't too busy to pull over. Jesus was available. The Son of God, the King of the universe, pulled over. I want you to notice what he says. What do you want me to do for you? The disciples elbowed each other and says, he always does this. He already knows. I mean, they're blind. I know what's wrong with them. Like, I'm just one of the disciples, and I can see the guy can't see. Like, Jesus always does that. Why does he always? I don't know why he does. He just likes to do that. What do you want me to do for you? See, he still says that today. See, God already knows everything about you, but he still wants you to tell him about it. It's a step of faith to announce what's wrong, to admit it. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And what do they say? Lord, we want our sight. They didn't yell at that time because he's coming over there. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, we want our sight. I'm almost afraid to say it. You know, like, Because they didn't. That's not what they yelled. Lord, have mercy on us. That's what they said. But when he said, what do you want me to do? What would mercy look like for you? We'd like to see. Can we see? And then what is, you know, so Jesus stopped. And then what? Asked them what they wanted. Then what? Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and followed him. So here, he's faithful. He's doing what the Father told him to do. But he doesn't come down here like, okay, these people, man, they are sinners. They are a mess. I'm going to be faithful to the Father, but I really don't want, man, if I could just get through this without touching anybody and getting whatever they got on me. You know, like, could I write him a check, Lord? I mean, like, Father, what if I stayed in heaven and just, you know, just sent like a sacrifice down there? Could I, what? Oh, no, see, that's not his heart. What was his heart? He had compassion. He loved them. He loves us. He didn't just come down here like an agent of God. He came down here, God in the flesh. And he loves us. He stopped. We call, he stops. We're on the side of the road, he pulls over. And he loves us. It's not, he's not too busy. Well, they were over there and Jesus was traveling down the road. Couldn't he, because he's God, and we know what he can do. He can say, let there be light, and he can create the whole universe with a word. But that's not what he does. He goes over to them and he touches them. Why'd he do that? Because he loved them. And he touched them. Are you available? Is your heart available? I got to guard my heart because people, you know, people let you down, you know. Last person I helped turned out not to be. They didn't need that much help. I'm not going to help anybody else now. Are you? Do you love? I'm really busy. I'm really busy. I got places to be. Are you available? Jesus stopped. He pulled over. He touched. Proverbs 3:28 says, don't tell your neighbor to come back tomorrow if you can help today. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, and all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. Do good. Be a servant. Contribute. Three common barriers for why you might not. Here's the first, self-centeredness. It's about you, but it's not. It's not about you. That's the first sentence in the first page of Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. It's not about you. Get that right, and you'll get a lot of things right with Jesus today. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God, me following him. That's the key to happiness. Stop saying it's about you. That's the attitude of sin and rebellion, self-centeredness. Philippians 2:4 says, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Rick Warren says the number one enemy of compassion is busyness. Too busy. Got things to do, people to see, places to be. Can't pull over. Here's the second barrier, perfectionism. Perfectionism. I would be more faithful if I, let me get my stuff in order first. I'll start following Jesus as soon as I clean my life up a little bit. I'm not ready. You know, I got to get this right and this right. Well, you're never going to get it all right. You need his help to get it clean. Ecclesiastes says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. You know what I believe in? Good enough ministry. Get started and then improve it along the way as the Lord gives you grace and ability. Get started. We planted the church in my living room. 7 people showed up the first week, and Robin was one of them. I was glad to see her there. I made the number 7, so I guess we had 5 show up, 7 counting me and her. I had this little stereo system and a little piano. The piano's actually down the hall. We gave it to the church, and little console piano, and we I don't know why I thought I needed a microphone, but I plugged a microphone into my little, you know, I could have just sat there in a circle and talked to the people. I plugged a microphone in and started talking to them, realized that was ridiculous and put it back down. But I was ready for a crowd, you know. Then the crowd didn't show up on that Sunday. That's how we started. But I had to make my living room available. I had to make my calendar available. I quit my job. I went to seminary. I had to make my whole family available. And it was all very risky. And according to my father-in-law, it scared him to death. How are you going to make a living? And I told him what every father-in-law fears most. I told him, I don't know. And people thought I was crazy, and I was in the world's eyes. But here we are, 24 years almost later. Next month will be 24 years that it started in my living room. In January will be 24 years since we started meeting publicly. I didn't know what I was doing, still don't. I'm available. Are you? Is your stuff? It's not perfect. If you find something perfect, don't join it. You'll mess it up. Number three barrier, materialism. No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. So sometimes we're not available because we're hoarding our stuff. We don't want to release our stuff. Our stuff's not available. Our car, our house, our stuff. Jonathan Minter, Pastor Jonathan, started a new Facebook group entitled, I can't remember what he told me it was titled, but I said something first service, so I think we're going to title it whatever that was. I said first service. I said, have a need, meet a need. So it's something like that. Here's the idea. If you know of a need, put it on the site. If you have the ability to meet the need, find out who they are by going on the site and saying, I can meet that need. Will you private message me and I'll figure that out? So maybe you're a carpenter, a plumber, an electrician, a lawyer, I have baby clothes, you need baby clothes. I have an extra car, you need to borrow a car. You see what I'm saying? Like that, so we can really be the family of God and actually have a clearinghouse for it like that. We'll see how it works. That was an idea that we were trying to think of ideas this past week of how we could have like a board where you could put stuff up and then people could help each other. So check that out. Have a need, meet a need if you're on Facebook. Serve somewhere, like serve in the Whirligig Festival that's coming up. You can sign up on the event table as you leave today. It's for like a two-hour commitment, get a free T-shirt and help us serve the city downtown during the Whirligig Festival. All the proceeds, we give every penny away to the Hope Station to help feed the hungry. So you know it doesn't go towards our church. We're giving everything away. Would you be available for a couple hours over the weekend like that? Sign up, do something. Don't have to do it at our church. Do something. Serve at the Hope Station, the Wesley Shelter, the Boys and Girls Club, the Youth of Wilson. Do something in the city. Be available as a servant. Sacrifice part of your vacation in 2016 to go on a mission trip. Do something. And then finally, faithful, available, teachable. Teachable. Getting fat here. Verse 27, whoever be first must be your slave. In other words, must be willing to humble yourself and be a learner. Be correctable. Be someone who's not a know-it-all, but someone who's willing to take notes. I love it when I look out here and we give you notes, hoping that you might take notes. Because here's what we believe. Leaders are learners. Leaders were, first of all, great followers. Great followers are the ones who make great leaders because they recognize, I need to grow. They constantly are learning. They're constantly, no matter how old they are, you can learn from people younger than you. By the way, did you know that? Some of the greatest lessons I've learned in life, I've learned from my kids. They're the ones who are constantly trying to make sure I dress right and have the right haircut and that kind of dad. That's looking pretty lame. And that boot cut thing you're still doing, out of style. But I can't do that whole pants in a spray can thing. I just can't do that. My legs are too skinny. It would look horrible. But I try to be teachable, not push back too hard on everything. Are you teachable? Are you a learner? In Mark chapter 9, it says, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone be first, he must be last and servant of all. When Paul talked about Jesus, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Be a learner. Jesus says, I just look to see whatever my Father's doing, and I join him there. Whatever he says, I say. He's already at work in the world, and I'm working with him like that. And so be a learner. Be looking for what God's doing. Be one who wants to learn. When I used to work in the corporate world, I had this idea when I first became a district manager. I used to, for about 10, 12 years, I worked as a district manager for a large drugstore chain. I had 20 drugstores. And if I was looking for a new management person when I first started, I would think, well, I could get a good management person from another drugstore chain. Found out very quickly that didn't work for me. I don't know if it works for anybody else. It didn't work for me. Because you'd bring the new guy in, and he constantly, every time you'd visit his store, you'd say, now, you need to change this, fix this. That's not the way we do it. That's not the way we do it. And he would go, yeah, but where I used to work, this is how we did it. And so I always found that better. And I would finally have to tell the guy, stop telling me about how they did it where you used to work. You have to learn how to do it the way we do it here. Be teachable like that. So just because you're smart over here, you can be an idiot over here because you don't know how it's done here yet. And what I started finding out was I'm better off getting a young person who's teachable that I could train, and it would take me a little longer to get them up, but if you cut them, they would bleed the DNA. They got it like that. So I don't know where y'all came from, but we're in this thing together. And you brought some great knowledge where you came from and where you learned, and we want to learn that together. But be teachable. Listen. Take notes. Be a learner. Learners, they become leaders because they've been growing. If you're a new believer, be a learner of God's Word. Get in a community group. Join a Bible study. Find a mentor. Submit to the authorities over you and stop shaking your fist at leadership and be a learner. And if you've been a believer for a while, be willing to be taught something. Like we can always use more people in the worship team. We can use more people in every service position internally in the church. If you can teach children, if you can serve in any kind of way, don't sit on your giftedness. We would love to have you serving. We would love to see that happen. You know, one of the reasons we have two services, when we first started two, now we need them now because we don't have enough room in here. We have 210 seats, I think, last time I counted in here. 210 seats. And if we put both services together, they wouldn't fit. So that's why we have two services. And plus, it gives more opportunity. But when we first started, we did it because we wanted people to be able to serve without missing the worship service. And so our thought was, attend one, serve one. And that's still our thought. It's a one-stop shop. Come to church and do it all. Come to the early service and serve. Like many of you, I'm looking around. I know many of you served at the early service, and now you're attending this service. Or flip it the other way. Serve one, attend one, or attend one, serve one. We would encourage you to do that. Think of ways you could do things like that. But service is not just in the church, but it's in the community. Be the church out in the city. Be a servant. Be a contributor. Are you fat? I mean spiritually fat. That's a good place to be fat. I mean just like faithful, available, teachable. That's the kind of people that God's looking for. The last few weeks we've talked about committing to celebrate God's Son, to worship Jesus first in your life. And then having done that, recognizing that means you got to hang out with the other disciples, connecting to God's people, growing together. And then finally, as you grow, recognizing that Jesus says, as you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. In other words, I want you to be a contributor too. I want you to contribute to the kingdom so that God can use you and let it flow through you and to others like that. Where do you stand today? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, first I pray for that person that's here seeking a closer relationship with you. No matter how far from God you are today, Jesus says to you, come, follow me. He invites you to come. And that's your really only decision today. Of everything I've talked about, say yes to that. Come. Jesus came and died for you. Would you say that back to him? Just that's what it would look like. A prayer of faith would begin like that. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've been far from you. My heart has been closed, but now I open it up to you. I believe you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave, that you live today. Come and live in me. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. And that's how the journey begins, praying that prayer, believing in your heart. But then having done that, making that commitment, he calls you to be connected to God's people, to get baptized, to join a church that preaches the Bible. So, Lord, we just ask for people right now to be praying about that and then to be a contributor. Holy Spirit, examine our hearts now. Show us the place where you want us to be givers, contributors. Just being reminded of how you gave everything for us, your body broken, your blood spilled, just as this bread and this cup symbolized this morning. We're reminded of how you served us and how you stopped and how you loved and how you've touched us. In Jesus' name, amen.